The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander. Ben Wilson in this week for the Vacationing Jeff Parlay. It's wedding season for young Jeff Parlay. He knows about 47 people who are getting married. He's going to all those weddings. I believe all this week, as a matter of fact.
That's an approximate estimate. The Parlay wedding is this time next year, May 2023.
May 23?
Yeah.
It got pushed back or something?
No, that was the plan.
That was always the plan?
I know the bachelor party is March Madness next year. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. May 2023.
Very excite. All right. Congratulations to Parlay. He's perusing weddings just to see how his might go later, getting some, you know, suggestions.
How to do a sampling of sorts.
Yeah. Pick what he likes, picks what he doesn't like. I think that kind of thing. We will talk college baseball with Ben here momentarily. Selection Monday was yesterday. Some snubs, some regional odds, and you have some plays for people.
There were some snubs. There were some horrific seeding decisions. And
wow.
We do have, as a result, there's some value I'm seeing on the regional odds board.
Okay. We'll look at that. And we will talk to Todd Wright on the NHL. What a game seven last night. I'm going to bring it up with Todd, but I kept trying to drive it home with all of our NHL guests, whether it was Andy McNeil, whether it was Todd Wright, whether it was Jay Kahn. I just didn't believe there was anything to the home road splits with the Carolina Hurricanes. You cannot convince me that exists in hockey, and it certainly did not manifest last night. Rangers beat the Hurricanes, beat them soundly, and they will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. What a battle of goaltenders that is between Andrei Vasilevsky and Igor Shesterkin. So we'll get into that. Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, talking baseball. At BaseWinner is where you can follow him, basewinner.com. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good, man. We're almost into June. It's been kind of a fast 2 months, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, it has been. I was just talking about MVP last segment and how I wonder if the voters are going to have Shohei fatigue. You know, it's like, okay, we saw it last year. We haven't seen that in 100 years. This year, sorry. I know you're doing the exact same thing, and the competition to your MVP award might not be as good, but we're just going to go ahead and give this to Aaron Judge. I'm not sure if you ever think about that this early in the season?
No, I don't think that that's going to come into effect that much on that particular matchup. You know, we talked about it earlier with the Juan Soto kind of getting snubbed. And then if he had a good year this year, then I think that he would be more, if he was equal with another guy, then they would do that, because that's what they do in the Oscars, right? If somebody gets snubbed, well, the next year, if they have a good film or 2 years down the road, then they get it. But I think with Ohtani, it's such a unique deal, Gil. And I've been kind of wrestling with this because I do have a futures play in my group of five. I have Aaron Judge. So I know you've talked with Jason, and he's like, well, Ohtani was the unanimous guy last year, and so he sees no reason that he won't be the unanimous guy this year. And to me, I think that he makes some good arguments about that, but it's really hard. I think you've got to look at WAR as kind of like a reasonable, I think, gauge. So like Judge is on pace to be like at an 11 WAR right now. So if he's at an 11 WAR, and let's say Ohtani finishes up like, I mean, he was at an 8 WAR last year, but let's say he's at a 7 WAR this year, then I think it's a debate. I think you have to give it to Judge if he continues to go on this pace. And you think, well, Ohtani's two guys, or he's one guy in two positions. And so, you look at what he did, what his projections are this year, like 2.4 WAR. That's like a JD Martinez, a Nelson Cruz from 2021. So you look at that, but then you look at his pitching, and his projections right now on his pitching are like 50th in baseball. I think that's what you have to use. You have to use that WAR as kind of the gauge, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of corroborates what I'm saying, right? Like, no matter how logical what Jason is saying is true, I get it, but there's more to it than that when it comes to human beings and what they might decide to go with this year.
I think if it's like, for me at least, if it's like Judge has an 8.0 war and Otani's got a 7.2 war, then I think I'd go with Otani because he's like, he's like playing two positions and you could look at the payroll ramifications on the team and like they're only paying one guy to like produce this, you know, at two positions this way. So, but I think that that's really kind of, for me, I was really excited. I don't know about you, Gil, but they were talking, you know, prior to the current agreement, when they were talking in the talks, the current or the negotiations prior to the season, they were talking about using FanGraphs WAR as pre-arbitration a bonus considerate, you know, to kind of figure out what their bonus were for the people who were pre-arb, and I thought that was cool. I thought that was like the intersection of sabermetrics mm-hmm. and Major League Baseball. I mean, here it is. So that was neat that they were using WAR. So I think you're going to probably see that. So
we finally arrive with stuff like that. All right, let me ask you about a bet in the NL Central. Freddie Peralta is going to be out for a long time for the Brewers. And now Brandon Woodruff goes on the IL with a high ankle sprain. Is there a bet to be made on the Cardinals to win the division now all of a sudden?
I don't think so, Gil. I've never been a real fan of the Cardinals. And I think that for me, it's really disappointing to see Peralta get injured. I mean, he was in my group of five Cy Young. And so, like, all those guys are hurt in my group of five Cy Young. It's really terrible. But I think that for me, what's the odds for the Brewers? I'd almost double down right now. I think that's probably a good play. I've got him winning the division like 90% of the time in my simulations.
Wow, minus 400 on the Brewers. I think it's like plus 275 on the Cardinals, something like that. Yeah, so exactly that. So you minus 400, you would
put. Yeah, could you parlay the futures? Is that something that you can do? Do you know that?
What do you mean, like on division?
Like
numbers?
parlay the Astros and the Brewers.
You know, my knee jerk reaction to that is to always say, oh, most books don't do that. Most books don't. But you know what? Every once in a while, I find out something about a book where, you know, like, was it Boyd over here parlays in game numbers? Right. So there's like all kinds of little quirks at certain books that you're not aware of. So I'm sure there is somebody who does.
Well, either way, it'd be a good bet. Like, you bet it straight. I'd lay minus 400.
I think you would. Okay.
Yeah.
We're showing minus 425 at DraftKings, or Ben up to date, minus 400, I think he said. Cardinals plus 275. So no taker from Mark Borchardt on the Cardinals. What do you like today on the Major League Baseball card?
Well, I'm going to go with an under today in the first five, and I'm going to Christian Javier and Frankie Montas, and it's not, the price of the total is pretty low. It's 3.5 is the under total for the first five innings, but these guys have been really good. They've got great Stuff Plus numbers. I've been using Stuff Plus, which is Eno Saris at The Athletic. He uses the Stuff Plus number. And I've been kind of using this to, if I see a play with a model that looks good, and I got a 3.3 run projection in here. So I'm like, okay, well, this looks good. And Javier's in the 90th percentile Stuff Plus, Montas 77th percentile. And one thing they're doing in all of the parks, but it's particularly having a unique effect in Oakland, is they are using, they're storing the balls in a humidor with a standard humidity. So it's like 70% humidity with a 57% humidity with a 52% dew point. And I think that's going to help dry the ball out, Gil, in later months for Oakland, but it's kind of backfired in Oakland because they've had like a dry April and a dry May. So what the humidor is doing, it's designed to pull moisture out of the ball in these parks that have high humidity. But Oakland's been dry, so it's actually putting moisture into the ball. So we have some of that going on today that helps our bet, I think, in this situation.
Do you have the dew point on every one of the humidors in Major League Baseball? Do you have that?
No, well, it's supposed to be – well, it's supposed to be at 50%, I think. Yeah, it's 52 or 52, I think, is what it is. 50 or 52, but there's a magic number. So if the dew point at a particular park is over, like I would say, like 55, 56, it's going to dry the ball out. If it's under that, it's going to put moisture into the ball. So I've been really paying attention to that because I think that's going to come into play.
Ben, mark it down. This is where we got a dew point on the show, where we went all nerd balled out on the show. We got
11:09 a.m. Eastern. We got that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I love that you know this stuff, Mark. This is what makes you brilliant on this. So that helps out the bet. So again, the bet once again, Astros Athletics, first five.
First five under 3.5.
First five under 3.5 can't hurt what you're talking about. That's the point of that.
No, I think that it's really a unique situation, and maybe the market doesn't really understand it yet. I mean, hell, it took me 2 days of research and study to understand it, and I think I know right now. And it's going to be exciting because I think there's going to be more home runs in like five different parks in baseball in the summer months.
Trust me, Mark, I'm still trying to understand college baseball seeding for the regionals and the super regionals. It's taken me 2 or 3 days as well. So I get it. Trust me. And that's what you're talking about is way more complicated. Any other?
Sometimes you got to read like four articles to kind of get it
down. It's unbelievable. So, yeah. It's funny how, and this I guess is with teaching too, what makes somebody a good teacher, not getting into the reader's brain, right? Trying to figure out how you can guide them along. Like what's the detail you're leaving out that is making this not connecting with the reader? Well, let's give us one more pick before you leave here. What else you got here?
I'm going to go with the Braves today. Morton versus Castellanos. It's priced up at -152 in the market. I've got it at the base winner line -201. So that's significant value. And, you know, we talk about Stuff Plus and Morton's, you know, his results have been mixed so far, but his stuff is pretty darn good. 74th percentile against Humberto Castellanos, who's a 6th percentile Stuff Plus. I've got the long-term projections pretty good still with Morton. And you put it all in the mixer with this Atlanta offense and you come up with that -201. I think it's pretty good value here laying the -152, Gil.
All right. So the under in the A's-Astros game. Game first five, and then the Atlanta Braves laying the wood against the D-backs at Arizona tonight.
Mark, yes, sir.
What's that?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
absolutely.
Sir. Okay. Just to confirm it. Mark Borchardt, everybody, at Base Winner. Mark, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Gil.
Mark Borchardt, everybody, from an undisclosed location in the desert. Base Winner. Always a pleasure having him on. Ben Wilson, college baseball, next.
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. The betting splits page will show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. And now it's updated every 10 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander, Ben Wilson, in for Jeff Parlay this week. Two hitting streaks at baseball happening right now. I'm always a dork for good baseball, you know, statistical achievements. So I am rooting. Trey Turner right now has a hit streak of 22 straight games for the Dodgers. And Paul Goldschmidt for the Cardinals has a 21-game hit streak now. So both of those guys going. And the reason I bring it up, Ben, is because your podcast partner, one Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, I believe has the tie for the longest hit streak in National League history with 44 games. I brought this up with you yesterday. I believe that's true. Obviously, the longest hit streak is Joe DiMaggio's 56. And is Pete Rose tied with Wee Willie Keeler at 44? Is that true?
Yeah. And yes, it was Gene Garber who struck out Pete Rose 1978 to end the 44-game hit streak.
Yeah.
I might ask him, about, since we have a show today, and now that
please
those
ask him
two
about
guys
it.
Are they're halfway there, I might ask him about it.
Please do.
Yeah.
There you go. I gave you some podcast content.
Thank you. I know it'll cheer him up because he had the Hurricanes last night. And
yeah.
I know he wasn't happy about that. So, yeah, we'll bring it up.
When I ask you, how do you know about that kid? Just be like, some guy. Not worth talking about. So looking forward to I'm rooting for those guys to get past 30 and then this to get interesting. Because 28, 29, there's been a ton of guys that have done that. But then once it gets past 30, then it starts to dwindle pretty quickly game by game. But that'll be pretty exciting if baseball can have something like that going on. Was it Juan Soto had the huge on-base streak going last year, I think? And I think Wander Franco did as well, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, baseball needs something like that going on. All right, college baseball. We brought this up yesterday. We tried to explain seeding for the regionals and the super regionals. Hopefully you understood it. I'm too dense, obviously, to have done so. But it was Selection Monday yesterday. And so the regional 64, first of all, it was 16 regional sites were determined. Those teams end up being the top 16 seeds. Is that how that works?
Yes, they were yesterday ordered into the top 16, which essentially means if any of those 16 teams were to advance out of the regional, they would be able to potentially host a super regional. There's only eight. So,
all right. So 64 teams in the regional, 16 in the super regionals, and then eight go to Omaha for the College World Series.
That is correct.
All right. So first of all, tell us who got snubbed.
Okay. So North Carolina State, a pretty ridiculous team who they got kicked out of the overall College World Series last year in Omaha because of COVID. So just a brutal way to have your season end. They get kicked out because they had too many players, and that was the protocol last year. If you had a certain amount of players, you forfeit. They were in an elimination game, so that meant your season's over. So that was pretty rough. And they were, by all accounts, were expected to be pretty comfortably in. A team that was, I mean, that's certainly not as good as last year, but out of the ACC had a pretty solid, I mean, a top 35 RPI. They made it to their conference final in the ACC. They just beat Wake Forest, who's a top 10 team in the country, and they were left out. And that was pretty,
How does that happen? Money? Some other school that portends more money for it all gets in instead of them?
But it sounds like this year was the committee, and what apparently in the deep divey college baseball circles, the committee has decided to change what they value year to year, which is not exactly ideal if you're a program trying to figure out, you know, scheduling and how you want to attack a season. And they really emphasize non-conference strength of schedule this year, which had not really been a huge factor in the past. But if you didn't play a strong non-con, they really, really punished some of these teams. And a couple conferences like the ACC, they really did not think highly of. A lot of people felt like Notre Dame should have been a top 16 seed, and they were not given a regional.
This is another sport, in addition to football, which is really dominated by SEC schools, correct? And we were talking about last night off air, some broadcaster, like how serious, Matt Brown, who played baseball at LSU, says, here's how serious they take college baseball in the South. Some broadcaster in Arkansas was like calling one of the kids on the baseball team, what was he calling him, lame?
He said a loser?
A loser and a disgrace. I'm like, he's a kid. What are you doing?
College baseball.
College baseball.
It's brutal.
Who else snubbed besides NC State?
What if I were to tell you that, you know how we've Selection Sunday as well, same in March Madness. What if I were to tell you on Selection Sunday, they came out on Saturday night and said, here are the top 16 seeds.
Right.
That's what they did in college baseball. So they didn't announce the order of seeding, but they announced the 16 teams who got the regionals before the final day of the conference tournament. So Oklahoma, who ends up going, they run through the Big 12 tournament. They end up with the best record in the Big 12. They beat Texas to win the Big 12 title. They now have an RPI of, they're in the top nine now. And by all accounts, they're at least at the very minimum, a top 12, 15 team. They were not even given the chance to host a regional because their game had not yet taken place, which is absolutely ludicrous. How could you set that up where you say, oh yeah, we're just going to set the top 16. It's like saying, you know, let's set it on Saturday night. And then the Ohio State, Michigan, Big Ten tournament winner. We'll figure it out later. They're going to be slotted in wherever. That game doesn't matter. It's like, what are we doing here? Why would you even then play the game on Sunday? So Oklahoma gets totally robbed. They now go to Florida. They're in the Florida regional. And that's actually that's one regional that I have my eye on, because we now have all the odds out for specific regionals.
Okay. Yeah,
we have odds on College World Series, but Oklahoma is, where did I have? I had them a second ago here. They are plus 265 to come out of Gainesville, a team who is basically, like, by all accounts, top 10, top 12 in the country.
What book are you saying this at?
These are all DraftKings. They just posted them this morning. So there are some regionals that are really tricky for these one seeds. Liberty, who's in that regional, already beat Florida in a three-game series this year. Central Michigan is one of the better four seeds you will have. So what you'll see is a lot of the four seeds are, you know, 12-1 and beyond.
Are these double elimination? Is that
double
how you
elimination.
Advance?
Yep. Double so elimination. Four teams, double elimination, the top seed hosts here. So Central Michigan is probably one of the better four seeds in the tournament. Liberty is like a live three seed. And so for me, this is going to be anything but straightforward for Florida. Oklahoma has... They're a team that they hadn't made the postseason each of the last 3 years, so their coach came in under the hot seat, Skip Johnson. I covered them opening weekend, and they've kind of had this, like, FU mode mentality all season. I wasn't that impressed with them when I saw them in person, but they've come on so strong. They were the worst pitching staff in the Big 12, which matters a lot in the postseason because you got to go through these double elimination games. You have to have multiple pitchers. But their pitching has improved a ton. And Jake Bennett, their ace, is this like 6'6 lefty who is pretty lethal. He's going to be a draft pick here next month. who just struck out 12 against Texas Tech in his last outing, and I think he went 7 2/3. So that is a team that in Oklahoma, they already got snubbed. They already were in a, all right, this is kind of a last stand season for their coach to begin with. And they, you can make a pretty compelling case. They were the best team in the Big 12. They are not hosting a regional. They go to a Florida team who I think is a pretty soft one seed. You see, you talk about the SEC, Gil.
Yeah.
A lot of these SEC teams get boosted in the in public perception because it's like, well, it's the SEC. They got to be amazing.
Right.
And that conference is legitimately good. But to me, Florida's a little bit overvalued. I wasn't as impressed with them this year.
So, Oklahoma, regional play for Ben Wilson. Plus 240?
Plus 265.
Plus 265.
Would be my regional play.
Okay. All right. I like that.
That's one.
Just one. What's another one?
So another, and it's funny, I just say.
By the way, if you have more than can fit in this segment, we'll be happy to continue later.
We can get in one more.
Okay, let's get one more.
It's funny how I say, okay, SEC, you're getting, you know, people overvalue them.
Then
there's Auburn,
yes,
who was not expected to do anything this year, and they sneak in, they get a regional, so they get to host. They're plus 150. They're the favorites, but they have a really weak four, Southeast Louisiana, who's 12-1. They get a UCLA team. I don't know if you saw that over the weekend, but they played a game against Oregon State.
Nine runs in the ninth.
25-22 in 10 innings. And then they had to turn around the next day and play. So UCLA has zero pitching right now. They give up approximately 897 runs in the Pac-12 tournament. That is your number two seed. And so it's a classic case. If you have a couple legacy teams in this regional, UCLA traditionally really, really good. They've had a down year. They're not ranked. Florida State is also in this regional. Typically really, really good. They have struggled hitting this year. And as I mentioned, the ACC is perceived to be very, very down this year. So those are your other three teams. And Auburn, who has a hefty gentleman by the name of Sonny DeShera, who they got in as a transfer this year. He's been one of the best sluggers in all of D1 baseball this year. That was Auburn's biggest issue. They're a great pitching staff. Tim Hudson is the pitching coach, former Auburn Tiger. But they really had no offense. And this guy DeShera comes in, has totally changed things for Auburn. And they come in, I think they were one of the last teams to get a regional, but plus 150, there's only two regional hosts who have longer odds to come out of their regional. And I think that's going to be one people look at and they're like, all right, Auburn's not holding serve here. But I actually think there's a little disrespect to the Tigers.
I love
this.
Give
me Auburn.
I wish we could bet these here. Oklahoma to win its regional, plus 265. Auburn to win its regional at plus 150. Ben will have another regional play, regional pod, I should say, a pod of four teams momentarily. Now, you don't like Oklahoma or Auburn to win at all, though.
I'm just looking at regionals right now.
Just regionals. Is it true that in the, you know, we were talking, is Tennessee, look, Tennessee's plus 250 to win it all. Are they that dominant? Matt was saying they are.
They are. It's also baseball, and it's also college baseball.
That's right.
That's what I would say to that.
That's what I would agree with that as a counter. All right, we got one more of those coming up. But Todd Wright chimes in on the NHL on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here for only $39. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com. And subscribers, they will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Montobel have best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil break down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features the daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now. It's very simple. At VSiN.com/summer. It's Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game where sports betting analytics live. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman was the greatest radio host of all time when he hosted All Night with Todd Wright back in the days of ESPN Radio. Also, of course, now has his podcasts, the Todd Wright Toddcast, as well as the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Contest, football podcast, rather, where he answers all of your fantasy football contest questions, not contest, but league questions all season long. He's been kind enough to do so throughout the years. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Todd Wright. How you doing, Todd?
Good morning, Gil. Nice to be with you.
Oh, it's a good day for you. You were all over the Rangers. And let me just say this. Shesterkin, absolutely fantastic. And we'll get to that discussion against the Lightning here momentarily. But, you know, I tried it. When I had you on, I had Andy McNeil on, I've had Jake Hahn on. And I kept beating this. I would ask it in question form, but I would be like the home road splits thing with the Hurricanes. It was my way of sort of saying, I don't buy it in hockey. Like, it just sort of randomly for me that the Hurricanes had this thing going on. In the end, it didn't manifest in Game 7. The Rangers rolled them. Congratulations to you. You were all over the Rangers pre-flop.
I was. A lot of that was, much like Tampa Bay, a head coach with recent Stanley Cup winning playoff experience in Gerard Gallant, and what I and many feel is an elite goaltender who, you know, some would say, well, Shesterkin, much younger than Vasilevsky. It's a year and a half, barely. Vasilevsky's 27, turns 28 in December. Shesterkin, 26, and I believe his birthday is in July. So their age is not much different, even though Vasilevsky's been playing in the league much longer. But, you know, as it relates to the home road splits, Gil, and you were right on that, I will say one thing, if Andy McNeil and others haven't said it, involving quote-unquote home ice, home court, home field advantage in any team sport. There's a tangible reason for that in hockey because the head coach of the home team gets the last change.
Yes.
I can't equate anything to that in the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball. And maybe it's because there's one or two writers at The Athletic who have been very wrong about the Rangers this entire time, including picking against them in Game 7, who say criticism of Gerard Gallant has always been he doesn't take advantage of last change. He doesn't look at matchups. But what did I tell you last week that I and others like about Gallant? He keeps his defensive pairings together. The top four, generally the 2 and 2, barring injury, they play together all the time. I think there's a benefit to that. I think Gallant is just one of these guys, and you saw him a lot out there in Vegas for two plus seasons. He says, we're going to play our game. We're going to play our game. Last change, first change, be damned. We're going to play our game. I'm going to put the best guys on the ice together. Reminds me, Gil, you talk a lot of NBA this time of year. Remember when Mike D'Antoni came along in Phoenix and they were like, what is he doing? He doesn't have a true center on the court. And D'Antoni said, yeah, I'm putting my best five guys out there.
Yeah.
And it was sort of just his way of saying, this is the way we're going to win. And maybe it fell short of an NBA championship, but it worked. And I think Gallant does things a similar way.
It's tough for people to get out of their constructs, right? If it's been done this way all along, then when someone else comes out and tries to do something a little differently, people, you know how brains are, people are slow to adapt, and not just in sports, but in life in general. So then it's the Eastern Conference Finals between the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning going for a three-peat. They're 8 games away, and it's the Rangers that they get here. And Tampa Bay is a minus 125 favorite on the road in Game 1. They are a minus 175 series favorite, are the Lightning. It is Vasilevsky versus Shesterkin. And, you know, look, as great as Vasilevsky has been, and he has been spectacular, boy, it's tough to say anything wrong about Shesterkin either. I'm curious where you stand on this.
Shesterkin against the Lightning this year has a save percentage of 9.58. Didn't lose to them in any of the three meetings this year. Granted, one of those was against Elliott on New Year's Eve because they played again against each other 2 days later. But 9.58 for Shesterkin this year against the Lightning. You know, one of the foundations, and again, here we are with John Cooper getting the first two games of a series on the road, which he's very comfortable with and he manages very well. The foundation to me, Gil, one of the foundations of the Lightning run for 3 years has been Andre Vasilevsky does not lose games back to back. That to me will be tested significantly in this series, and I think it could be tested in the first two games in New York. And once that goes away, I think that challenges the Lightning in an area they haven't been since they lost in 4 to Columbus 3 years ago. And I think the Rangers are their most difficult challenge to get that three-peat. And I guess I'm not surprised that the Lightning are favored, obviously, in the series. But in game one, and I know people say, oh, the Rangers had to go seven. The Lightning have been off. I know what the narrative is going to be if the Rangers win. Well, the Lightning were rusty. They hadn't played
in
a week and a half. They're two between home games. But no, I love the Rangers in game one. And obviously, you know, I like them overall. I have liked the Lightning. I think the Stanley Cup champion comes from the East based on what's left out West, particularly in net. So those are some of my thoughts when I look at the Eastern.
Okay. So a play on the Rangers in game one, but stopping short, but stopping short of a Rangers series play?
I'd rather play game one right now.
Okay.
I just play game one right now. I don't think the series price is going to move that much if the Rangers hold home ice in game one.
I think you're probably right. It won't go crazy after one game. That's for sure.
And I already have a ticket on the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
So I have that in my pocket already.
All right. Let's note that as well. That's from someone who already has a ticket as well. Okay. So, West, that starts tonight. Edmonton and Colorado. The Avalanche, no real surprise, are a big favorite in the series, minus 250, although some might object to just how big of a favorite they are. In game one, Avalanche are minus 175 favorites. The total is seven. And so I'll ask of you what I ask of everybody else, which is, okay, I get it. The Avalanche, which a lot of people have as the presumptive not only representative from the West, but also maybe the Stanley Cup champion. A lot of people believe that. But then you get to see Connor McDavid at the peak of his powers here this postseason. It's got to make you hesitate on pulling the trigger.
Oh, it does. Oh, it does. Also because I still don't buy Jared Bednar as a Stanley Cup winning head coach. He's 5-4 in postseason series in his Stanley Cup playing career. He's had MacKinnon the entire time. He's 5-4. Did they just get over a hump? Or, Gil, you and I talked as they blew game five. You and I talked as a third liner and a fourth liner scored cheapy goals against Villajuisto and not Binnington to win game six. I'm not convinced Colorado didn't impress me in getting past the hump of the second round. Look, this is the first conference finals, Gil, since 89. Where the two opponents have averaged more than four goals per game coming in. That's why the number is that high. Mike Smith has been awful in game one. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Colorado wins game one 5 or 6-2 or 3. But to me, that doesn't change my opinion that they have no discernible advantage. You will get hockey executives and coaches say, Mike Smith is playing better in the playoffs than Darcy Kemper. And I keep coming back to Jay Woodcroft, maybe one of the better new head coaches in the National Hockey League. Since he took over, Gil, he's coached them for 50 games. They're 34-16. 34-16. Jay Woodcroft's Oilers win two for every one they lose with Mike Smith. To me, Edmonton has the better player in McDavid, and they have the better head coach in Woodcroft. That's why I like Edmonton in the series, and I think you might get it at an even better number after they lose game one.
Wow, strong conviction on both ends. Likes the Rangers in game one, staying off the series for now, but going to hold off on the Oilers here in game one, but might get a better price, and will pound that if the Oilers lose game number one of the Western Conference Finals. Real quick, Todd, because we got to go, we only have 20 seconds. What's the matchup that your former network wants to see on TV for the finals?
The 2022 Rangers against the 1994 New York Rangers.
That's a great answer. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Right. It's very true. I would love to see that 94 Rangers team grace their screens again against this version of the Rangers. Ben Wilson has one more college baseball pick, and we'll take a look at the NBA Finals MVP as well.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, are you? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action. With BetMGM Rewards, eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Bond Plate. Let's see. Oh, Gil and Jason Weingarten. This is the sexiest conversation. Shohei versus Judge or New Kid on the Block. How long will the trump card he pitches last? I'd like to think MLB awards voters will continue to properly assess the value of two-way player, but keywords, I'd like to. That was kind of my point of bringing it up. That's the real question. How long will that last? Darian Ibrahim. Oh, here's a good one, Ben. Yo, awkward young Jeff didn't invite you to the wedding?
We got a year, okay?
We got a year. I don't think the invitations are out yet.
I don't think they're out yet.
I don't know if I'm going to get an invite. Why? You're making this awkward, Darian.
Jeez, tough crowd.
This is from Super Bry. He says, I'm not saying Nadal will beat Djokovic, but when will you get the chance to back him at the French at plus 190 again? The answer is never, Super Bry. You're right about that. Let's see here. Thomas McKenna, he goes, Gil tried to sneak in a Borat reference. I am very excited. Oh, I sneak it in all the time. Let's see. Trader John says, DraftKings does have MLB division exactas, if that's what Base Winner was referring to. Oh, I was talking about the Brewers and the Cardinals on top of the NL Central, and Mark talked about an exacta there. Bond played also adding to the Shohei discussion. He's very obsessed with the Shohei discussion. He said, would a better question be, is this now a two-man race? And if, when it is, if you already have Ohtani in the plus 300s, when do you just hit Judge at plus money and sit back and relax? The check is in the mail. Loving the show today. Shout out to Ben Wilson as well. I don't think it's a two-man race. It's May. There's no such thing as a two-man race in May.
A lot that can happen. We got a lot of baseball left.
There's injuries. Some other dude can come up and just have a ridiculous torrid stretch. These guys can start to suck. You know, it's a long way to go. Let's see here. Do-do-do-do-do. Matt Grissom hoping that someone in town, specifically Circa, will post college baseball regional matchups. He's shouting out to them. Russell Smith, don't sleep on East Carolina. Said number 8 seed, the longest winning streak in the nation at 18 in a row, need to win their pod this weekend to host at Clark LeClaire Stadium for the first time ever in the Super Regionals. So we got some of the college baseball, some love on this. Do-do-do-do, let's see here. Scott C., I didn't think I would need to brush up on earth science to handicap baseball totals this year. Talking about a Base Winner going to the humidors and the dew points of that. Gonzalez Cannon. Not surprised, but impressed with Ben Wilson's college baseball knowledge. Also did great with the WAC tournament, Globe Life preseason games, but I think Liberty wins that region.
I appreciate it, there's Gonzalez Cannon. That's very nice.
Gonzalez Cannon there. Forrest Lehman. Apparently, Carlitos didn't get the wake-up call today. Loose, to put it mildly. Carlos Alcaraz dropping the first set to Sasha Zverev. Dropped it 6-4.
It is a pick'em right now, Gil.
It is
on serve in the second.
A pick'em on serve in the second. Carlitos, let's go. Thanks for all the tweets, as always, at Beating the Book. Let's take a real quick look, because we didn't do this yesterday. NBA Finals MVP. We were heavy on basketball yesterday, not so much today. But NBA Finals MVP, again, the NBA Finals doesn't start till Thursday in San Francisco. But you can still bet the Finals MVP, of course. Steph Curry, no surprise, plus 110. Jason Tatum, plus 175 for the Celtics. Now, here's the thing. Again, historically about NBA Finals MVP. The only time it has ever gone to a player on a losing team was the very first time they did this award, back in 1969, when they gave it to the logo, Jerry West of the Los Angeles Lakers, when they lost to the Celtics. I assume they lost to the Celtics that year. Yes, I believe they did. So Jerry West is the only one. So basically, you got to play for the winning team. So it's got to correlate to your series conviction. If you think it's the Warriors, Steph Curry's your short shot. If you think it's the Celtics, Jason Tatum is your short shot. But those aren't bets that we would make, Ben Wilson, are they? What about the longer shots? Would you take a 10-1 on Jaylen Brown if you believe the Celtics are going to win this? And then there's a bevy of Warriors from which to choose. Klay's 14-1. Draymond, or as Greg Anthony calls him, Draymond is at 14-1. And a pool party, Jordan Poole's at 25-1. I think I might take a shot at Clay or Jordan Poole.
The Clay one is what jumps off the screen to me. And it's just because when you this the voting, think about like Draymond. He's a guy who has not really looked like he's wanted to take a shot for the better part of 4 months. And that's not nothing against Draymond. He knows his game really well, and he's not, that's not what he does. He's not really a high leverage scorer. But Clay Thompson, we know the ceiling is there. He showed it in game five against the Mavericks. He's a guy who's got 40-point ceiling every single game. You figure that for Boston, so much of the defensive game plan is going to be shutting down Steph, but they really haven't had a series yet where they've had to slow down multiple legitimate outside shooting threats. And you think about how with the injury to Chris Middleton in the Bucks series, that was really you do your best against Giannis. Drew Holiday wasn't consistent enough. That's a series. And in Miami, it was, as we know, Jimmy Butler and basically a collection of body parts who were, you know, up and down throughout that series.
And dovetailing nicely with our conversation from before, if I may say so, about Shohei, these are human beings. And so to your point about Draymond, not exactly warm and fuzzy. Some voters might not enjoy Draymond.
There's a history in the NBA Finals, yes, of Draymond doing below the belt
That's
things.
Right. I'm not making a judgment. I love Draymond. I think he's a Hall of Famer. But I'm saying when it comes to you betting your money on these kinds of things, keep that in mind, that Draymond's got to overcome that perhaps as well. Whereas Clay has the finest narrative of the bunch, right? Not only blew out his knee, also tore his Achilles, missed two seasons. By the way, the injury happened to have happened, the first one, in the NBA Finals, right, against the Toronto Raptors. So what a perfect arc this would be over a three-year span from that, you know, the nadir, if you will, of Klay Thompson's career with that injury at the highest moment, the highest stage, I should say, the biggest stage of all this. If he goes off, what a great story that would be. Again, human beings involved, not computers, in voting for these things. So I think I would take a shot at Clay at 14-1 on this. And maybe I will. Maybe I will.
I don't mind that at all. Would have no issue there.
All right, we only have a couple minutes left, Ben, and we promise folks that you have one more college baseball regional play. You already gave out Oklahoma plus 265 in their region. And then Auburn, plus 150 in theirs. What is number three, sir?
Number three. First off, all of a sudden people are tweeting at me wanting advice on these regionals, so I feel obligated to do my best. Alan Harris asked if Va Tech is a little cheap at minus 155.
You have an opinion on this, yes.
I'm not a huge opinion. I think they're right. That's the second largest favorite behind only Tennessee in the regional. So Gonzaga is the only team that can beat. I would say who could beat Va Tech. That is a really tough ask going from scenic Spokane to even more scenic Blacksburg, Virginia. That is a long haul.
Yes.
The committee they kind of went away with a lot of the regional, like they were trying to do geographical regionals a lot in the past, which I like. You're actually putting, you know, the best teams together instead of just lazily saying, hey, four teams are playing California, you guys just play each other. So I like that they did that, but Gonzaga is the only threat, really, to Va Tech. But I still like Virginia Tech, fourth best team in the country at D1 baseball and ending the season here. So that would just be a suggestion. The final one I'm looking at is the region I believe that will have the most carnage. Georgia Southern is your host. They are the third betting favorite of their own region, plus 235 to come out of the Statesboro, Georgia region. And I'm going to go back to this whole talk on it being snubbed and the committee not showing respect. So I mentioned how the committee, they went all in on this whole idea of non-conference strength of schedule mattering a ton. They screwed Notre Dame out of a top 16 seed. And basically the reasoning they gave was, well, Notre Dame, it was a 195 non-con strength of schedule. We get that they are a high academic institution who plays in a cold weather city, but we don't care. And basically they couldn't play anybody because they traditionally don't play a tough schedule. They have to play on the road the first 5 weeks of the season, but they had a really good record in a solid ACC. They go 18-12 against top RPI teams this year. And I think it kind of goes back to the Oklahoma point I was making earlier, the disrespect to a Notre Dame team. It's like, what else do you want them to do? They're in South Bend, Indiana. They can't just play all these amazing non-conference teams when it's February in Indiana. So they are the favorite, Gil, but I'd ride them. It's a plus 145.
Plus 145 on the Fighting Irish to win their region. All right. Oklahoma, Auburn, Notre Dame. Again, my five futures. I don't know how I have five futures to win it all, but somehow I do. Stanford, Texas, Texas A&M. Ole Miss is a long shot, and now FSU added to the mix. May it all come home. One of them, I get it. May one of them come home. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Thank you to you. Good luck with all your bets. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.